If you have your Bible tonight, please open it to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. We've been studying out here on Wednesday nights about considering Christ. We've been learning about the different attributes of our Savior Jesus Christ, how that everything about Him is just exactly like everything His Father in heaven is. Jesus Christ is God. He is omniscient. He came to deliver those who are sin-sick so that they might have a Savior. He is all-powerful. He is Lord. He is holy. He alone can give forgiveness. He alone has the power to heal and the power to save. And tonight we're going to consider His eternality. Jesus Christ exists forever and ever. Amen. And if you would, please find John 8 and verse 48. John chapter 8, verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, I pray that you would help us to see Jesus in the right way tonight. Help us, Lord, to understand that there are many who do not believe in Jesus. And today there are many who hate Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would be with every heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl here, that we would not only believe in Jesus, but we would trust in him with all our hearts, and that you would help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, please bless your word tonight. I pray that anyone here who has never truly been born again would be convicted in their heart, that they would repent and believe in Jesus tonight. Please help us all to grow in your word and to see the truth of who you are. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of people hated Jesus while he was on earth, and a lot of people still hate him today. These Jews that were discussing things with Jesus at this account in Scripture, they called him a Samaritan, and they said he had a devil. It may not mean much to you to say that, to call somebody a Samaritan. We think of the Good Samaritan. For us today, we think being a Samaritan is a good thing. But for the Jews to call you a Samaritan would be about like me calling you a dog. That's about what it was like. And so when they called Jesus a Samaritan, they were insulting him and basically calling him a dog. Now, there may be some people at school or at work that make fun of you for being a Christian. They may make fun of you for reading your Bible or for going to church. Some of you who have jobs, you may be ridiculed for your faith at work. Maybe even people in your family mock you for believing in Jesus. But I want you to know that you're not alone. They hated Jesus, and it's only to be expected that they would hate those who love and follow Jesus. Today we see those who accuse Jesus of having a devil, and they wanted to kill the Lord. And Satan's been fighting against Christ since the very beginning in the garden. Being a Christian is the only life that's worth living. But it's a life that is a war. We are called to be soldiers for Christ. We have to face opposition of the wicked one and those who would follow him. And so when we understand how that Jesus faced opposition, it helps us to understand more about his purpose and his ministry on the earth. So first of all, notice with me the purpose of the Savior. We read verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. Jesus gives his purpose statement. He says, I came to honor my Father. And everything that he did the Father's will. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And so though they hated Jesus and came against him, he did the Father's will. Listen, this is important. A lot of Christians today want to follow God and go to church and do good things as long as things go good for them. But the minute things go bad, they want to abandon church and abandon God and abandon the Scriptures and abandon being a Christian. And friends, it's not the way it works. Amen. We serve Christ when it's good. We serve Christ when it's not good. We're not here for the benefits of this earth. We're here to serve him because he's God. Amen. And we should honor him as God. Jesus Christ himself was reviled by men. He was hated by men. And so Jesus didn't respond in a bad way. He faithfully followed his Father, no matter what people said or did. As we follow the example of Christ, we've got to understand our purpose in life is not to win arguments. Our purpose in life is not to prove our point. Our purpose in life is to honor our Heavenly Father. Back at verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin or convict me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. There were so many people who got to see Jesus face to face. They got to hear his voice and they got to see his miracles, and yet they did not believe in him. They didn't understand who he was. There are people today who will choose anything over Christ. People today will choose immorality. They'll choose addiction. They'll choose religion. They'll choose anything rather than repenting of their sin and following Christ. And I'm pleading with you tonight that you understand that we ought to let go of everything. If you find Jesus, you ought to let go of everything to follow him. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, and the people who are around him could not understand or appreciate who he was. And let me just encourage all of you here tonight that are saved. Never get over the fact that God himself left the glories of heaven, became a man, and died in your place on the cross so that you could live. 1 John 5:20 says, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It's him. Jesus told the truth about who he was in the midst. They called him a Samaritan. They called him a devil. And he said, I'm here to do my Father's will. Look at verse 50. His purpose was to honor him. He glorified him. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Jesus didn't come even to seek his own glory, though he's worthy of all glory. He came to point people to honor and glorify his Father because he did his Father's work. In John 8, back at verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He always did the things that would please his Father. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. He did the works that God the Father sent him to do. He spoke the Father's words. In John chapter 12, verse 47, it says, if any man hear my words and believe not, judge him not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Amen. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment that I should say and what I should speak. Jesus did everything that he did to do his Father's work and to speak the words that his Father wanted him to speak. Friends, Jesus is our example. Listen, we're not here to seek our own glory. We're not here to get honor for ourselves. We're not here to say what we want to say or to say what we think. We should be here to speak his word and to do his work. Anybody ever heard of Johann Sebastian Bach? Anybody ever heard of Bach? A few of you? I understand. I went to public school in Oklahoma too, I know. Vianne. Before that it was Bragg, so. Bach was an incredible composer. And at the end of everything that he wrote, he put at the bottom the letters S-D-G. Soli Deo Gratia. To God alone the praise. Everything that he had written, Famous works that people are still in awe of today. At the bottom of everyone, Bach didn't want the glory for himself. He didn't want the glory for the king. He wanted the glory for God alone. To God alone, the praise. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You guys, listen. Everything in our culture tells us to look out for ourselves. Everything in our culture tells us to get what we can get, to do what we want to do what feels good to us, to do what's going to get us ahead. And everything in our society tells us it doesn't matter who you step on to get where you want to go. And that's not the way that Christ wants us to live. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here to do our will. We're not here to get ahead. We're not here to glorify ourselves. We're not here so that we get the spotlight. We're here to put the spotlight on Jesus. We're here to glorify him. He had a purpose and he had a promise. Look at verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if any man keep my saying, he shall never see death. If any man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Jesus Christ gives a promise of eternal life, but it's a conditional promise. Notice that he said, if. In John 8, verse 23 through 25, John 8, 23 through 25, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Listen, I want to say it as plain as I can. If you believe in Jesus, you have life everlasting. If you don't believe in Jesus, you have death abiding in you. And we need to understand very carefully tonight what it means to believe in Jesus, because we're warned in the scriptures that the devils believe and tremble. I haven't met very many people in my life that don't believe that Jesus exists. Have any of you ever met somebody that doesn't believe Jesus exists, that does not believe? There aren't a lot of people like that. I met one just the other day. We went out to eat, and I handed a guy a gospel tract, sitting at the table, and talking to him. He said, I'm an atheist. He didn't want my tract, so I took it back because I didn't want him to throw it in the trash. But he said, Jesus is just made up. There's nowhere in history that talks about Jesus other than those short stories that are cobbled together in your Bible. Friends, Jesus is the most testified fact in history. Amen. Inside the Bible, outside the Bible, you'd have to be crazy to not believe that Jesus existed. Almost every reasonable person on the planet understands that Jesus existed, but that does not save you. The devils believe and tremble. We're not just talking about believing in a historical figure named Jesus like you believe in Napoleon or you believe in Alexander the Great. We're talking about trusting in him to be your Savior. So we're talking about believing in Jesus. We're not just talking about believing he existed. We're talking about believing that he is who he said he is. I am what I said to you from the beginning. And what was that? Well, he is the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the creator of the world, the Savior who would come and die in our place so that we could have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. You're not just believing in somebody. You're believing in Christ Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God and the Son of Man, the one who died in your place on the cross. That's what we're talking about. And that's what he's saying when he says, if you don't believe, if you don't believe, you're dead. But if you believe, you can have life. Look at John 3, 14 through 16 with me. How many of you guys know John 3, 16? Most of you guys know John 3, 16. It was the first verse I ever learned. A lot of you the same. But I want you to go back to verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Back in the Old Testament, God's people, the children of Israel, kept sinning against God. And God would send judgment on them. And one of the things he did was he sent serpents. Everybody know what a serpent is? What's a serpent? A snake. And these were fiery serpents, which meant that they were poisonous serpents. That meant they were venomous snakes and they were deadly snakes. And people got bit and people died. And when the people were dying because of all the snakes, how many of you are scared of that? Like, if God got angry with us today and sent a bunch of snakes in here and started biting people. How many of you are going to have trouble sleeping tonight now that you're thinking about that? Okay. But the people were getting bit. The people were dying. They finally cried out to God. They went to Moses and said, please entreat God for us. We have sinned against God. And so God told Moses how the people could be saved. He fashioned a serpent, a brass serpent. He put it up on a pole. And the Bible, and God told the people if they would look at that serpent on the pole when they got bit, they wouldn't die. Now that's weird, right? Just look at a serpent on a pole, a brazen serpent, a brass serpent on a pole, you'll live. Why was that saving? Why would that save them? Because that's what God told them to do. Amen. And when you're obedient to the word of God, good things happen. Amen. The whole purpose of that was to point to Christ. And Jesus said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And all the people in Israel, if they got bit by the deadly snake, if they looked at the serpent up on the pole, they would live and not die. And friend, listen to me tonight. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, was lifted up on Calvary's cross where he died for your sins. And he looked down from that cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, it is finished, paid in full, when he died on that cross for your sins. And if you will look to Jesus, you'll not die, but live. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God loves you so much that Christ died in your place, and you have been bitten by something worse than a snake. You have the poison of sin coursing through your veins. You may not realize it tonight, but you are already dead. Listen, those people, when they got bit by those snakes, they were dead. Before their heart stopped beating, before their brain stopped functioning, before they stopped breathing, they were already dead. The death sentence was in them unless they looked and believed. You're already dead. Sin is already in your veins. You're already guilty. Sin always ends in death. And friends, the only way you can live is to look to Jesus. But if you will trust in him, he will give you eternal life. Somebody tell me, how long is eternal? When does it end? What about everlasting? How long is that? When does it end? See, I it's not complicated, is it? Please listen to me. Some of you are going to trust Jesus. You're going to repent of your sin. You're going to trust Christ. You're going to be born again. And then later on, you're going to get scared about whether you're saved or not, or somebody's going to tell you that you're not really saved and you need to get saved again. And there's going to be all kinds of confusion. Let me give you a couple of things you need to get. Number one, you need to trust God's word, not man's word. There are a lot of things that you think Jesus said and you think the Bible says. It'd be a really good idea to look it up in the Bible and see what it actually says. Don't take my word for it. Don't listen to other people. I don't care how good your grandma is. She doesn't know everything. Read your Bible. Amen. Believe God's word. And trust in the promise. He said eternal life. John 8:51, he said, he shall never see death. In verse 52, if any man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. He gives eternal life because he is eternal. He is the pre-existent God. Look down at John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. This is one of the I am statements of Jesus. He was claiming to be Jehovah God. He was declaring openly to the Jews, I am Jehovah. I am the Savior. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. In verse 54, he had said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Now what Jesus is saying to the Jews, I know God. You say you know him, but you don't know him. And let me tell you how good I know him. If I said I didn't know him, I'd be a liar like you. Jesus didn't beat around the bush with people too much. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the eternal God. Colossians 2:9 says plainly, For in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Before Abraham was, I am. Psalm 90 in verse 2, Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is God. Before Abraham was, I am. God the Father says to Jesus the Son in Hebrews 1:8, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. If you would just study your Bible, you would come to the conclusion without a doubt that Jesus Christ is God, Amen. Eternal God, and the only one who can give eternal life. You know, when you think about, can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody looking at Jesus and calling him a dog? Can you imagine somebody looking Jesus in the face and telling him he's got a devil? That's hard for me to imagine. Because I know him. Because I know who he is. I know what he's capable of. That's crazy to me for somebody to look at Jesus and call him a dog. You know, our initial reaction might be to say, man, those people, that's horrible. To call Jesus a Samaritan, that's horrible to say Jesus had a devil. But many of us do the same thing. Now listen, we might not physically be picking up rocks to throw at Jesus, but we may curse him. We may take his name in vain. You may blaspheme the name of God and our Savior Jesus Christ on a regular basis. You may sin and disregard his word, claiming that we know better than him. Listen, I want to tell you tonight that God is not going to settle to be one of the gods in your life. I want you to look at one more passage of scripture real quick. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. What that means, guys, is Jesus is the exact representation of God. When you saw Jesus, you saw God the Father. They're one and the same. For by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is ahead above everything. And he doesn't want to have a prominent place in your life. He wants preeminence in your life. Do you guys know what it is when we love anything, value anything, or serve anything more than God? You know what that's called? It's called idolatry. You know, there's a lot of things in our life that we can kind of put on our shelf that we can love more than God. I think a lot of people kind of have a God shelf. They love movies and video games. They love their music and all that stuff, and that's one of the idols they have in their life. What's something else that people love more than anything else? Family. Family, what?
Money.
Food. Their God is their belly. Their phones. Somebody said family. Should you love your family? Should you love them more than God? See, so many people, they got all these things that they love and all these things that they say they love. And I'm just gonna take this book because this is God's word and it represents Christ, because he is the word of God. They just want to lay him up here with all the rest of the stuff. We want him to be a prominent part, but we've got all these other things too. The problem is this. When I come up to a question where, whether it's what's going to come first, Jesus or the things I want to do, like my movies and my entertainment, or when it comes down to going to work and earning some money, because, you know, you got to go to work, right? You got to have money. Or maybe it's even your family. I want you to understand something tonight. Jesus deserves and demands to be above all these things. He is to have the preeminence. And anything that we love, value, or serve more than Christ is an idol. And it's going to be evident in the way that you live. Some of you fellas, you want to take some overtime, make more money, but you got to miss church to do it. You've just put money ahead of Christ. You didn't study your Bible when you got up this morning, but you spent time on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever else it is, or you watch cartoons, but you didn't read your Bible. What you did was you put your entertainment ahead of Christ. You see, it's evident in the way that we live. And I'm telling you tonight that Christ deserves and demands the highest place in our hearts. And when he has that place, it's going to be evident in our lives. I love my kids. But I'm not doing them any favors if I put my children ahead of Christ. He has to come first. It works pretty easy. I can only hold my family up so high, right? I'm limited. I'm a man. I can only do so much to hold my family up, right? If I put them ahead of God, there's only so much I can do. I'm not as tall as Bill, so I can only get him up so high, right? But even Bill, he's limited on how high he could hold his family up, right? But what if I put Christ first? How high is he? Infinitely high. And then if I put my family second under Christ, how much higher are they? They're infinitely higher than I could ever hold them on my own. God's not asking you to do something terrible when he says to love him more than you love your family. He's asking you to do something great for your family. Amen. Great for your job. Amen. Great for your life. Amen. Because he's above all things. We're going to stand together very quietly. And Brother Aaron's going to come and lead us in a song of invitation. Hey, you guys, listen. If you don't know what invitation means, we're just trying to give you an opportunity to respond. God's convicted your heart. Maybe tonight you know, I'm not saved. I believe Jesus died for me, but I've never been born again. I need to be saved. You can come talk to me. Your teachers are scattered around the room. You can go talk to your Sunday school or Wednesday night teacher. But if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, you need to get right with Jesus tonight. If you are saved but you've never been baptized, you need to take the first step of obedience and follow Christ in baptism. If the Lord's convicting your heart about anything, listen, we're going to sing, what number? We're going to sing all through the song, okay? This is part of our worship. We're going to sing the whole song. You don't feel like you're rushing anybody if you come pray where you're at, or go find your teacher, but you do business with Jesus right now while we sing.